for breakthrough tonight. Put those hands together, come on. All his promises are yes and amen. Come on, our God is faithful. You know it's different. I give you glory for all.
Everybody, welcome. God bless each and every single one of you here on this beautiful Thursday morning, August 14th, year of our Lord, 2025. Good morning to Robbie. Good morning to Kitten and Cat. Good morning to Jonathan and Christine. How are you today? Good morning to Amanda and Halo. Good to see you in here this morning. Good morning to all newbies or newcomers to LFA TV. You might have saw us featured on the front page this morning, and you hopped in because you saw probably the best breakdown of trading and money markets on the internet or even on TV. And we do that show in the morning in order to get people ready for the market to open at 9 a.m. on the East Coast. And then we jump right into this because your personal finances, your personal faith, your family, it's all connected. And we need to know how to live in harmony. I think it's ironic that Craig and Frankie talk about harmonics. Well, your faith, your family, your finances, all of that come into play. And so we want to make sure that we're balanced and we have harmony in our lives. And a mermaid says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, the first thing that I do, like I say every day, I put my feet on that carpet, get off the bed or get out of bed, put my feet on that carpet. And I just say, thank you for today. You know, thank you for the breath in my lungs. Thank you for giving me another day to do something that I'm obviously here to do. Just tell me what it is. Just let me know what today's mission is. Put me in a place to be able to affect change. Put me in a place to be able to be humble and admit my wrongs. And help me be a better person today than I was yesterday and the day before and so on and so forth. So here we are. And the title of today's show, which is episode number 662 already, is Letters to Jesus. And I was sitting here thinking about this morning because I was thinking about how we used to communicate. How we used to communicate when we were young. Do you guys remember in school we would have pen pals from like other countries? And like the school would set it up to where we could, you know, receive and send letters to kids from around the world. Maybe we would then meet them in a foreign exchange student program or something like that. I used to love being a pen pal. Didn't you? Third, fourth, fifth grade. Like, I remember pen pals, Scholastic book fairs, and Apple computers with the perforated paper printers where we used to like type out long messages like happy birthday or congratulations, and we'd put it up and it had the perforated paper. Those were the days. Who had a pen pal? Raise your hand if you had a pen pal. And I was thinking about that this morning and I said, well, I would love to be a pen pal to Jesus. I pick up the Bible or devotional books every day, and I read words that were inspired by Jesus for me, but I don't write anything back. I had a couple opportunities when I was like in third or fourth grade. I'm going to be 46 this week, so, you know, forgive me for my memory. It kind of goes after a while. Fatty 15 is helping with that, though. But anyway, to the 10,000 people in here, if you're in this chat and you've never chatted before, just let us know that you're new here. We would love to say hello, just like when you go to church. You don't have to fill out anything in the pew, though. That's fine. And let us know, did you have a pen pal? Because if you did, this episode is going to hit home for you. Shop Girl said, I had a pen pal with a girl in Germany. That's really cool. We actually have the equivalent of a pen pal today in my family because we sponsor two kids through Compassion International. And one kid who is in Africa, we have been sponsoring for, oh man, I don't even know, 4-5 years. His name is Malugida, and he writes us once every month, and we write him back and, you know, send him gifts and things like that for him and his family. And boy, I'll tell you what, the first picture that we ever got from him, and even the first letter that we ever got from him was very sad. You know, I mean, they were living in a little, tin hut and very poor drinking water. He wasn't really, he was able to go to school, but he wasn't able to, get the supplies he needed for school and stuff like that. And he wasn't even able to go to school full time. And, we did what we could do and we've continued to do what we can do. And I'll tell you what, his letters have changed. His mood has changed. His outlook on life has changed big time. And so his name is Malugada. We also sponsor another kid in Venezuela. And his name is Angel. He's a little younger. And we haven't received much from him. Pete Santilli said, I loved reading handwritten letters on paper. And I could smell the food cooking in the kitchen or the perfume or cologne in solitary confinement and peaceful existence with no internet. Those were the good old days, weren't they? Not the solitary confinement. But the days of writing letters. And it is a lost art. You know, it's a lost art, much like writing in cursive. Like any chance I get, if I'm writing something, I try to write it in cursive. I want my kids to write in cursive, but they don't anymore. Now, my kids did when they were in Christian school, but now that they're in public school, like nobody writes in cursive. And I want to keep that, alive, and I want to keep letters alive. And now a lot of you write me letters, and very apologetically, let me tell you, I have not written many back. And it's because I just didn't take the time to sit down and write, hundreds of letters back to people. Hindsight being 2020, I wish I had. Hindsight being 2020, I wish I had found the time or made the time to do that. Now, when we first started LFA, I would even pay my daughter. At that time, I think it was $6 an hour to sit and help me respond to emails. So I would type in an email back and she would like, Dad, this person said this. And I'd say, okay, just let them know this. And then she would type that back. And we would kind of double team it. And I would try to answer every email that we got. Remember when you guys could message or email me, jeremy@jeremyharrell.com? We had to stop that because we got 70,000 emails behind. And there was no way we could ever keep up. And what was happening was some people were saying, oh, thank you for the email back. Thank you for the letter back. And other people were going, what about me? What am I, chopped liver? And we couldn't keep up. And I was working until like 10 o'clock every night. And my wife would say, you cannot answer everybody back. And I would say, yeah, I know, but I got to try. And I feel bad for not being able to. And so as I sit here today and talk about pen palling and talk about writing letters, I think we do need to get back to it. And I know that's easier said than done, but there is something about, Annette said, you could have had an auto pen. I should have borrowed Joe Biden's auto pen. You're absolutely right. Letters to God is a great Christian movie about a child using letters to a way to pray. I didn't even know that. I'm going to have to look that up. I didn't even know that. And Pete, by the way, I feel where you're coming from about solitary confinement. Been there, done that myself. Until those prison doors opened and I got to go free. But that's funny. Could have the auto pen do it. There's something about getting a letter. You know what I mean? And Pete's right. Like when he was in solitary confinement, he would smell the letter. I did that too. Because you don't get outside smells. You don't get perfume or cologne or what a person's, body smells like even, or their clothes. You just don't. And when you get a letter, whether you're in prison or whether you're at home, there's something different about it. There's something different about paper. There's something different about the words that are written down. You know that somebody sat there and they were thinking of you deep enough to put their feelings on a piece of paper and fold it up and get an envelope and fill out the envelope and put a stamp on there. And take the time to go to the mailbox and put it in. We don't even do that these days. Not. I'm sure some of you do, but as a whole, we don't. And so that is why, you know, all of us can grab our phone and go to our Bible app, but there's something different about the weight of the pages of a book. The weight of the pages of the words of God in a book, 66 books that make up the Bible. There's something different about that. There's something deeper to that. And what I'll see is, like, when we're in church, I'll see a lot of people, you know, grab their phones and they'll go to their Bible app to follow along. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with that. I'm just saying that there's something more. Eileen, that's the perfect word. It's personalized. Exactly. Now, somebody's watching me said, I haven't handwritten a letter in years. So, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll get back to what I do in the mornings at my house, okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And God Chick said, I love the smell of the pages in the book. Yeah, I know. Those weird little things, right? T. Mundy said, I did write to a January 6th a lot. I kept his spirits up. God bless you. God bless you. Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for another day on this earth to be able to spread your gospel and to be able to admit our wrongs from yesterday and become more like you and like your son today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to go through doors that you continue to open while you shut doors behind us so that we don't go back. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to be able to read and write and have personalized messages given to us through the pages of the Bible, and in turn, personalized messages to other people in the same way, in the same fashion, Lord. Keeping that old art of personalizing and writing a letter to somebody or writing a message to somebody alive, Lord. There's something to be said for it. And as we ask ourselves every day, WWJD, what would Jesus do? I don't think Jesus would be sending, you know, have his face in the phone today as much as we do. I think Jesus would be going and talking and touching people where they're at and writing letters and receiving letters back from people, fan mail, if you will. And Lord, we're just so grateful for this time in our lives. We're so grateful for accountability and conviction. And we just pray that you're with us today through this message. And that everybody that's hearing and watching live now, and maybe even later, the replay, that they are moved by this message today. In the name of Jesus, in his life, his death, and his resurrection, we pray and say, amen. Amen. So, 9,000 people in here watching. So, in the morning times, my daughter, because I do this so often, my 8-year-old daughter was... not last night, but the day before, right before she went to bed, she said, Dad, can you write me a letter? And I said, what do you mean? And she said, before you go to work. And regrettably, I forgot to do that yesterday. And I feel bad for that. I really do. But the reason why she asked that is because before I go to work a few times a week, I will write a letter to each and every, not really a letter. I will write on a piece of paper and I will put Sabrina, and then I'll write something. And then I'll go down to another paragraph and I'll say Jaden, and I'll write something. I go down another paragraph, Lily, and I'll write something. Olivia, and I'll write something. And so what that does is, because they don't see me in the morning, because I leave at 5, you know, 5-ish in the morning, I don't get to see them until either after school or after, because now the older ones are working, or even after work. Like, my son and daughter work from 4 to 11 tonight because they're now working. So I just don't see them. So getting that personalized message from me, their father, or me, her husband, in the morning is, to them, it kind of like, I'm there, right? And I'm, you know, I hope you have a good day today. I know that you have this going on. We have them put their, you know, schedules on a calendar so that we know what's going on in their lives. I know you got this going on today. I hope you, you know, I hope you take God with you wherever you go. Please remember to be patient with people. I could probably practice what I preach on that one. Please remember to be kind and nice to people. I could probably practice what I preach on that one. And it's not just a message for them. It is a reminder and a message for me. So when I go and I do that in the morning, it actually helps me walk out the door. And The other thing about letters and, you know, little messages that you write down like that is some people save them. And they save them for years, decades even. And you can go back and read what you were thinking, how you felt when you were that age, and what might have been going on in your life. They're almost, if people keep them, like everlasting and eternal. I mean, look at the pages of the Bible, for crying out loud. If there was no writing letters, we wouldn't have that. If there was no ability to write down poems and stories and witnesses, witnessing, we wouldn't have that stuff. So there's something to be said about putting your feelings on a piece of paper and about putting what you see and how you feel about a certain situation or a certain person on a piece of paper. And so when I do that, it's not just for them. It's for me. I walk out the house going, I did my fatherly duty today. And I'll be able to get a message to the kids even though I'm not here. And what I'll do is I'll put that piece of paper in a place where they can't miss it. You know what I mean? Like, I know my eight-year-old daughter during the summer, she's either going to go towards her tablet early in the morning to play, because we let her play educational games and stuff like that, or she's going to go right to the TV. That's just what she tries to do every morning. Now, if we're up before her, we don't let her do that right in the morning, but that's what she wants to do. So what I'll do is, if I write just a letter for her, I'll put it on her tablet. So I know that she has to see it. Or if I'm writing it to everybody, I'll stick it by the coffee pot, because I know that as soon as people get up in the morning, they're going to the coffee pot. And Sherry said, I have notes from my husband from 40 plus years ago. It's beautiful. It's very beautiful. And now with social media, we even have an addition to that. Because say if I were to pass on today, right? If I were to pass on today, my family is going to be able to go and watch me whenever they want on social media. All this stuff that we do, the 662 episodes of Rise Up, the thousands of live streams that we've done, they'll be able to go watch that. We didn't have that opportunity when we were kids. We got Polaroids in photo albums that we got to go back to. Maybe if we were lucky, somebody held on to some old VHS tapes, or even before that, some reels of home videos. Like, maybe, just maybe. So, having said that, here's what I suggest that everyone does for their family, especially fathers, okay? Mothers too. We have two options to leave a legacy of our thoughts and feelings to our children who are still growing up or maybe grown. And we can continue to still write letters. So I want to get back into the, mindset. I want to get back into the habit of writing my children and my wife letters that I never give to them. I want to keep them where I keep my will. I want to keep them in secure place for after I move on to heaven, that they have these letters, that they can, oh, Dad wrote this when he was 45. Dad wrote this one when he was 49. This one was dated this, so Dad must have been 54 when he wrote this letter. Wow. I want to do that. And another thing that I've been wanting to do for years, and I did start to do this, but I didn't finish it. And I know some of you remember when I said this. I want to start leaving them video messages like this. I want to just sit down in front of a camera and say, hey, Shay, it's August 14th, 2025. And while I know I'm in Iowa and you're in New Hampshire, becoming a beautiful, strong, independent, God-minded young woman, I just want to let you know that even though we're not together in flesh, we're together in spirit. And as I sit here on August 14th, 2025, I'm thinking about the woman you'll become. I'm thinking about the family that you will foster and you know, bring into this world. And I want to put those in some kind of a secure vault for when I'm gone. And I got to thinking about all of that this morning and communicating with people and how we used to do it. And I realized that is exactly what the Bible is. It is a consistent and constant love letter to us, pointing us towards Jesus Christ. So it got me thinking, why don't we write letters to Jesus? Why don't we do that? Why don't we write letters to Jesus and go put them in a mailbox and let the postman take them wherever they go? Heck, put just any address on it. Who knows where it's going to go? Who knows what kind of gospel you can spread? Imagine this, right? Imagine you go out to get your mail today. And you're going through bills, coupons, crap, blah, blah. What is this? What is it? A letter to Jesus? Open it up. Dear Jesus. And then you start reading some stranger's letter to Jesus? Or what about sending these letters to a prison? What about sending these letters to homeless shelters? What about sending these letters to rehabilitation centers? Letters in a bottle. That's it. And imagine reading a letter, or to veterans. Exactly, Casey. Exactly. Imagine reading a letter from somebody to Jesus. Not to you, but to Jesus. Imagine how you would feel. Like if I got a letter in the mail and it was addressed to my address and I opened it up and it was a letter to Jesus, I would be like, who sent me this? Where did this come from? Who is this person? Why did I get this? How does this person know me? And you leave it at that. And so imagine what that would do for you to write down just to Jesus. And not like, Jesus, thank you for life. Thank you for, you know, being there for me. I'm talking about intimate letters. Like, all right, here's what's going on in my life. And what do you suggest that I do? You know, I would love to hear your answer on this. And do you know how Jesus is going to answer you back? He's going to answer you back through the Holy Spirit. He's going to answer you back through other people. He's going to answer you back through ads. He's going to answer you back through short clips on social media. He's going to answer you back on long version podcasts. He's going to answer you back through movies and TV shows. He's going to answer you back when you get in your car and turn on the radio. He's going to answer you back in the most weird and uncanny ways. And I'm just sitting here thinking about this morning, and I'm like, how am I just now thinking about this? Like, it encompasses so much of spreading the gospel. You're planting seeds. Other people are reading them. You're doing it because you love Jesus. He's going to answer you back. Your words are going to be out there in the world. Now, maybe people will throw it away. Maybe they'll burn it. Maybe they'll say, these stupid Christians, blah, 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 plant, pushing their religion on me. Who knows? Who cares? It's not about what happens with it after you give it away. It's kind of like when you give somebody money on the side of the street who's panhandling. It's not your money anymore, and you shouldn't worry about where the money goes. You did your deed. Letters to Jesus. I think that's incredible. Now, I want to address a couple things before we get to the verses of the day today, okay? I did send you out a newsletter. So please check your newsletters. I would appreciate that. We've got 8,100 people in here right now. If 8,100 people just press the thumbs up right now, we would lead the leaderboard tomorrow for most engaged video. So if you love Jesus and you're not even chatting, but you do have a Rumble profile, do us a favor and hit that thumbs up. We'd really appreciate that, okay? Now, I want to address, number one, my actions over the last couple days with kicking the hornet's nest of people that I don't agree with, okay? While I was correct in saying that Jesus was sent to disrupt and Jesus was sent to basically kick the hornet's nest and cause drama, so I justified doing it as well. You know, with the whole, other podcasters and their audiences and, you know, the Jew haters and all that stuff like that. I did it. I did exactly what I thought Jesus was doing. You know what I mean? Messing up the status quo. However, I didn't do it like Jesus did. And that's what Mandy was saying yesterday when she was in the chat during Kevin's show. That's what Mandy was saying yesterday and a few others. And I was merely trying to understand what they, you know, what do you mean? I was just doing what you should do. You should stand in the gap and disrupt. Yeah, you should. But again, it takes you back to WWJD, and I did not do it the way WWJD would. You know what I mean? I didn't do it that way. And I didn't feel right about it. Not just because of what Mandy and others said in the chat, just because my own conviction. I got home yesterday. And I was doing a Facebook Live, actually, right? So before I did the Facebook Live, I was thinking about this. And I'm like, you know, I just don't feel right about the way I did it. Like, I could have done the same kicking the hornet's nest and disrupting. I could have still done that. And I could have done it in a more godlike way. Like, hey, guys, I know you have this opinion and this, that, and the other, but you know what I mean? Just remember this. Jesus says, and I should have did it that way, but I didn't. I didn't. Teffy said, yeah, you came across a little harsh. A little? Yeah. A little. Times 10. A little times a little, right? But I did feel that conviction yesterday. And so when I was going home, I did a Facebook Live called Evolution. And, you know, how we evolve as Christians, how we evolve as parents, how we evolve as spouses, and how we evolve in our careers and our jobs, right? And long story short, I'm just not the same guy that I was. So I tried to force something, right? I tried to force old Jeremy back into existence in order to conquer something that I thought needed an old Jeremy approach. And I was wrong, because the old Jeremy approach didn't accomplish any of what I wanted it to do. Did it accomplish rowling people up? Absolutely. But did I row them up the way I wanted to? Or did I sink to their level to rile them up? And I realized I sunk to their level to rile them up. And while old Jeremy would have relished in that and been like, ha, 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 I didn't yesterday. And I'm talking about the whole Nick Fuentes stuff. Not my show yesterday, but the Nick Fuentes stuff. And it didn't feel genuine. It felt forced. You know, when I was going into their chats and I was saying the things that I was saying some of the most outlandish, immature stuff you could possibly say. And I was doing it on purpose. It wasn't like I just started doing it and I was like, oh, old Jeremy crept back in. I tried to force my old self back into my new self. And it didn't work. It didn't work at all. It's kind of like when your body rejects like a shot, or your white blood cells reject, you know, a foreign agent that comes into your body, coming in the way of sickness. My soul rejected what I was trying to portray myself as, to disrupt this message that was going on in this, you know, this guy's audience. And I want to say big shout out to AP Unfiltered that just raided this stream. God bless you, AP Unfiltered. We're glad to have you here. And I really appreciate it. Now, somebody said, what about your episode yesterday? Because we had a technical difficulty in the morning and we had to switch from Rumble Studio to another way, there's not a specific episode for Rise Up. You have to go back through the all-day stream and just rewind it back and watch it. So it's still there. It's just in the all-day stream. So good morning to AP Unfiltered. We appreciate you being here. It's not a belated birthday, Dane Zex. My birthday's in 2 days. But thank you very much. I appreciate it. So, yeah, Bob. Bobo's Clan said, it's a learning curve. We all need the word the word mentality. Exactly. And so it wasn't really the things that the audience was saying that convicted me yesterday. It was God that convicted me. It was my own Holy Spirit inside that convicted me. But then I went back, hindsight being 2020, and I saw some of the people that were correcting me. And, you know, it happens here. It's happened here for years, right? And that's why I probably should stay out of the chat as much as I'm in it. Because I'll see something, and then I'll respond to something. If something, like, upsets me, I'll respond to it immediately. So I wanted to address that, and then I'll move on. Here's the next thing I wanted to address. Yesterday, after I felt this way, I called Joey Vontes, who's a host here at LFA TV at 6 p.m. And I said to him, Joey, I don't know why, how you got here other than the God brought you here. When you host Rise Up, you do an amazing job. But God is telling me it's time to evolve Rise Up now. And I don't know really in which way I want to evolve it or which way God wants it to evolve and I'm supposed to, you know, obey. But he did tell me that I need to involve you and I need to bring you into the fold and I don't know why. So Joey said, funny thing you said that, because after you had me host Rise Up last week and we had 8,000-9,000 people watching him, he said, I've been praying for the company. I've been praying for you and I've been praying for Rise Up. And I've been praying. I mean, we have the equivalent of like a mega church with tens of thousands of people watching this ministry. And pastors are like, how are you guys doing this? Because we're bringing the word right to people and we're bringing our personal lives and our personal convictions right to people and our growth and our fallbacks and our setbacks and everything. And it's just so raw and real. And that's why, you know, 7,300 people are still in here watching. And so I asked Joey, I'm like, I need you involved. Would you like to get involved in doing this with me, this evolution of Rise Up? And he said, absolutely. And so we started brainstorming. And then I realized that his prayers and his answered prayers were the same as my prayers and my answered prayers. We had the same ideas. And then I said to Joey, which I've said to you guys 1,000 times, I said, Joey, oh, congratulations, Flipmo. Congratulations, anniversary and turning 47. God bless you, man. Congratulations. So I said to Joey, I said, what do we got to do? And here's how we're going to change things or add to things. We're going to start doing street evangelism. We're going to start setting up booths in places and asking people whether you believe in God or don't believe in God. We would love to pray for you if you need prayer and have people come up and record it all, right? And then we talked about doing roundtable discussions. Guests, you know, like I asked Julie Green if she would come in and sit down with me and have a God-filled, faith-filled discussion. So we're going to start doing that, you know, the basics. But then I said to Joey, what about this, Joey? I said, let me ask you a question. Because Joey and I, two different, very, very different lives, right? I said to him, thanks, Pete. I appreciate that, man. I said to Joey, I said, hey, Joey, where outside of the Bible and church, outside of the Bible and church, I said, where do you find Jesus? And he said, through scripture and prayer. And I said, no. If somebody has never read the Bible, somebody's never prayed, how do they find Jesus? Where do they find him? What location can anybody find Jesus at? And he's like, tell me. And I said, rock bottom. Rock bottom. That's where you find him. And that's where we continue to find him every time we fall back there. That's where he lives. That's where he dwells. He dwells as the rock at the bottom. And there's only one way to go from there, and that's rise up. And Joey, I don't think, knew that about my background. I don't think he knew about prison. I don't think he knew about all that. And I said, Joey, I've had this calling even before I found God that I need to be in prisons. I need to be in methadone clinics. I need to be at abortion clinics. I need to be in homeless shelters. I need to be where the people are at rock bottom in their lives. It's where I feel comfortable. It's where I feel like I can connect with people the most. And he said, bro, Rock Bottom Ministries. And I was like, what did you just say? And he said, Rock Bottom Ministries. That's what you need to call it in order to rise up. And all of a sudden, I realized why God brought Joey here. I realized why God told me to call Joey yesterday. It all just started coming together. And the great thing about Rock Bottom Ministries is I am about as flawed as anybody who's at rock bottom. But I want more of the righteousness. I want to be convicted more. I want to change every day. I don't want to be the same yesterday as I am today. I don't want to, I want to grow. I'm going to fall backwards, but I want to grow. And I think that kind of raw realism will connect with people who are in prisons, who are in juvenile detention centers. Meet them where they're at to stop them from where they're going. Or at least help them. I've been there. I've seen that. I've done it. I lived it. Years and years. And a lot of you have. So, before we get into the scripture today, I just want to say, Joey is going to start doing one rise up a week, starting next week, alone, by himself. And we're also going to have one rise up where it's the two of us together, having deep conversation about something. And then the other 3 days will be just me, just like it is right now. But then we're going to evolve it from there into going out into the world. I don't know where that goes. I don't know what the first place is. I don't know any of that. But when I told him that I wanted to start going to prisons, do you know what he told me? He said, funny you say that. He said, I got a guy who's connected with hundreds of prisons all over the country who does this kind of, who does ministry, who could get you in. And I was like, dude, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for still giving me blessings when I do not, absolutely do not deserve even a minutia of that blessing. Why do you do this? Why do you keep giving to people who just take? Miss Mocha Powered, Jeremy, can you and Joey do music together? It's no coincidence that him and I both were in the entertainment, music entertainment business. That's all I'll say is that. It's no coincidence that him and I were in the entertainment music business. So yes, I'm sure we will. If that's what God wants us to do. Take your ARC experience on the road. Spreading the word, fellowship, playing music. I think that's it. I think that is it. And I'm just... You guys are all just as much of a part of this as me, as Joey, as our families. You are our family. And we love you. And I'm so grateful that you stayed as long as you have when you definitely didn't have to. Especially on those days when I was out of control, acting like a fool. But a lot of you are the same people that were doing that, staying here even back in the day when I was really crazy. I have not talked to Will about this yet, but I will, which brings me to the verse of the day today. And that is 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. I'll give you a minute to get there. 1 Samuel, Old Testament, chapter 13, verse 14. Yes, Will Johnson will be a part of it. Guaranteed. Somehow, some way. CQ said, I'm still a fool sometimes. I'm a fool a lot. You're going to have to change the wrap on your truck. Yeah, I might have to. Rock Bottom Ministries, right? And I think letters to Jesus every, you know, at least a couple times a week is going to be something that I need to do. And here's what I would like to do before we get to the verse of the day, since this is called Letters to Jesus. I would like you guys to write a letter to Jesus. I'd like you to send it to me. And if you don't want to send it to me, that's okay. You can email it to me. You can send it to me on paper, or you can send it to me through social media. We'll start looking for them and we'll start finding them. I want to read your letters to Jesus, not your testimonies. Although if that's in your letter, that's okay. And don't make your letters really long because can't read four pages for every person. But write down a short letter to Jesus and send it, if you would like, to me. I'd like to read it on Rise Up. I'd like to read them with Joey. Oh, I'm not going to forget about Pete Santilli. Pete Santilli, this is Rock Bottom Ministries is going to be for anybody who wants to get involved. We're going to do something different, right? Let's go to this verse. 1 Samuel 13:14. Right here. It says this. But now your kingdom shall not continue. Who's he talking to there? Saul. King Saul. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people. Because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. That part right here. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people. Now, I know the Lord does not look at us in a micro. He looks at us in a macro. I know the Lord looks at our heart, and I know he looks at us as a whole, not a specific day. But yesterday, if he did do that, I agree, Pete. I agree 100%. And I agree that if we do get pen-pal letters from people in prisons, that we read them on the show for everyone to see and hear about what they're going through in prison. 100%. Rock Bottom Ministries, bringing the people's word and their feelings from rock bottom to show the world. Great idea, Pete. We'll get together and talk about that. But yesterday, my heart, in that day, yesterday itself, I was not a man after God's own heart. I was a man after my own fleshly desires. Now, the Lord knows that that's not me anymore. And the Lord wanted me to know right away, what are you doing? Why are you putting on the mask of your old face? Get it off. That's not you anymore. That's why it feels wrong. 5 years ago, that would have been no problem. I'd have been doing that, loving it, and telling everybody who didn't like it to get bent and get off my page, right? So you got to ask yourself a question. As you sit here today listening to this message, and maybe as you write a letter to Jesus today, maybe, when you get done this show. Are you a man or a woman after God's own heart? And if your answer is yes, well, then you've got a lot to do. And I do too. If your answer is no, then you've got a lot to do. And I do too. But if we think about David, look at what David did. David was called a man after God's own heart. He sent his friend away to die so he could have sex and a relationship with his wife and had an illegitimate child out of it, which God ended up taking. What God gives, God will take away if you are not obedient. You know what I can't even fathom being taken away? It's not LFA. It's not Live from America. It's not even the network. It's Rise Up. Rise Up is taking me to a whole nother level. And I hate dumping dirt on Rise Up because I feel like I dump dirt on all of you and God. Rock Bottom Ministries. That's where we're headed. God desires to have an infinite love relationship with us. Our love for him is a response for his divine love for us. We express our love for God by spending time in his presence. That includes sitting down and writing a letter. Enjoying his nearness right inside. And listening to his voice. reading his word, and daily seeking to know him better. As the Apostle Paul said, whoever loves God is known by God. Perhaps the purest examples in the Bible of how to love God comes from an unnamed woman who anointed the Lord's feet with her perfume. So grateful was she for Christ's forgiveness of her many sins that she poured out her love in extravagant worship and absolute devotion. This woman appreciated the true worth of her Savior, and in humble gratitude, sacrifice, and servitude, she loved and worshiped Jesus with her tears, her hair, her kisses, and her priceless bottle of perfume. She loved God with all she was and everything that she had to offer him. Does that sound like you today? This one guy wrote a letter to Jesus, and I'm going to read this for you. He said, in my first letter, all I wrote was, oh, Jesus, I love you. I am yours. Help me love you better. That's it. That was the letter. Writing these letters will help you recognize all the small ways that you see God's love in your life. It's a way to reflect and thank God for all the ways that he loves you. If you are at a loss to begin a letter, here's some tips that might help. Number one, tell Jesus you love him. Whether you choose to write a simple, I love you, or a more elaborate message. Number two, make a list of the ways you've seen Christ's love in your life today. Remember that list I told you to start writing and add to? I have a list over there. I think there's six things on it. Number three, tell Jesus your fears and your insecurities. Ask him to release you from the things which are keeping you from loving him better. Jesus is waiting with his arms wide open as always. Are you ready to disregard your worldly desires like I had the last 2 days and love him? If so, then may you fall deeper in love with Jesus in every letter that you send and write. Robbie, note, you don't send it to Rock Bottom Ministries. Just send it. If you watch Live from America, you'll see our address. You can send it to there. Just send it to Jeremy Harrell or Live from America. You can even title it Rock Bottom Ministries. But I know that Amanda had put in the address in the live chat. Maybe somebody can do that again. Send them to there. We'll get them. We'll get them. I wanted to show you a picture, if I could. Top picture says, this is how you found me. The bottom picture says, this is how I am right now with him. You know, yesterday, I went from this, actually the last 2 days, with my actions not really on Rise Up or not really on LFA so much as I did on social media with Fuentes and all of his followers. I went from this to this. I tried to get dirty again. And Jesus said, you can't do this. This is you now. This is not you. This is how I found you. This is how you are. And I said, wow. That makes a lot of sense. I felt dirty. And I just want you to remember this before I read some of these devotionals and leave today. Your worst day with God is still better than your best day without him. And sometimes God says no because he wants something better for us. People will come and go. Situations and scenarios will come and go. But Jesus will always remain by your side. Your worst day with God is better than your best day without him. Remember that. I have to remember that. I have to. Because if I don't, find myself in a pretty precarious situation every single time. Every single time. So, Let me go to some devotional books here. Chef says, get your 501c4, claim the name Jeremy. Rock Bottom is an awesome name. We will do that. We will do that. I am the firm foundation on which you can dance and sing praises, continuously celebrate my presence, just as you long to. When you praise me, your joy increases, even in a letter, folks. As does your awareness of my holy presence. Your body may or may not be mightily engaged in this endeavor, but I see into your heart. That is where the ultimate celebration of my presence takes place. 2 Samuel 6:14 said, David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all of his might. Are you dancing for the Lord? Am I? I am today. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Boy, did he look at mine yesterday. Living the 66 books of the Bible, 1 Samuel, have you ever changed your initial impression of somebody after you got to know them? Happens to me all the time. Because you were not born with X-ray vision, we base our opinions on what we can see. Sometimes we take an instant dislike to people because of their mannerisms, style of dress, momentary expressions, or stated opinions. God sees all those externals in one glance, for he x-rays the heart. That's one of the main lessons of 1 Samuel, which tells us about three leaders: Samuel, Saul, and David. The stories of these three overlap, but chapter divisions clearly show how the storyline changes from one to another. Samuel, the seasoned leader, Saul, the foolish one, and David, the emerging one. I don't want to be the foolish one again. I just always want to be the emerging one. Don't you? Despite his wisdom, Samuel missed David's potential. He was the youngest of Jesse's son, not as impressive as his older, taller siblings with their impressive faces. Yet God saw in young David a man after his own heart. There are two lessons for us in this. First, we shouldn't be overly concerned about how impressive we appear to others. Our beauty should not be primarily outward, but the hidden person of the heart. Second, we ought to be cautious in jumping to conclusions about others. Ask God to give you a discerning mind so you can better see with God's eyesight. The person you least like may be the one that God wants you to most love. What? The person you least like is probably the one that God wants you to most love. He is an awesome God, isn't he? An awesome God. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for us. What are we at here? Yep, we have 1 minute for Sean Farish to come on. I hope you guys stay tuned for Sean. I really do. Because after Sean is 3 hours with yours truly, and I have a guest coming on from Washington, D.C., I hope you guys can stay tuned all day. If you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. I get it. But I do want to say thank you. And remember, write a letter to Jesus. I'm going to do it today. I hope you can too. God bless you. Stay tuned all day here on LFA TV. We don't go anywhere, and I hope you don't have to either. See you later, folks. Bye-bye. For too long on my own, I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see it now. I'm laying it down. I know that I need you. I've run to the Father. So I run to the Father.
your son for redemption, the price for my heart. I don't ever contest for that kind of love. I don't understand. I can't.